and sing to you this song.
Father, we are always trying to press upon you the fact that we recognize how inadequate what we have is without you touching it. And so oftentimes, God, we trying to impress you with our offerings of praise, try to sing a little better and worship a bit more sincerely. We come in, Lord, with a different attitude. And in fact, Lord, your word reminds us that we must have the same attitude that you had. Lord, in humility, we have to admit that it really doesn't seem like enough. So, God, when we lift our voices and we lift our hands, tears roll down our faces. We cannot find words, so we simply just moan. It's because we love you. And God, we want to show you how much we love you. So incredible, so indescribable, so great and so awesome. Just so you. But God, if you would allow us now to come a little closer. We are inspired by your word when James declares that if we would draw near unto God, that God, you would draw near unto us. So can we come closer? For God, we need to be closer. And nothing will separate us from the love that is now in Christ Jesus. I want to sit at your feet in this moment. Direct our attention fully. Your words fall from your lips. They rain on us like fresh manna. God, saturate us with your word. Let nothing distract us or draw us away. They are sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Speak to us, sir. We are as those Greek men who traveled a great distance. And we simply declare we would see Jesus. So God, would you make yourself visible to us? Our spiritual minds, eyes. The saints of old would sing it this way. Oh, I want to see him. To look upon his face. Would you allow us that amazing grace? We need a word from you. The song says we need something to ease the people's pain. Speak to us, sir. For we are living in the last days, that our living not be in vain. And God, please forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me. I can't help myself. Can't do it without you. Wouldn't even try. Make preaching life changing today. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Amen. Would you put your hands together? Come on and bless the Lord. Come on. If you've never done it before, try it this time. Come on and give him some praise and glory. It ain't gonna hurt you to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're looking good from where I'm standing. Grab your Bibles. New Testament reading from the New Living Translation in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Sure is good to see you. I know that's not grammatically correct, Miss Scott, but I didn't want to come across too fancy by saying it sure is good to see you. We can do what we want with the English language, but we understand each other. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to lift up just a couple of verses and a word from the Lord. I think if we were to ask the church, the congregation, if you will, why do we come to church, we would probably get 40 or 50 different answers. Until somebody heard somebody give that brilliant answer, and then we'd start using their answer. But I want you to think for just a few minutes here. We're here now. I mean, we're here. You don't have to answer me, but would you internalize for just a few moments and just ask yourself, why do I come to church? And let that work with you for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you found your place with your smartphones, tablets, and those of us who still have Bibles, old-fashioned kind with pages, would you say, I got it. I have a New Living Translation, so I want to read from it. It says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory and everything through Jesus Christ. All glory and power belong to him forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Before you sit down, because you get lazy when you do, but before you sit down, would you kind of set your Bible or your smart tablet off to the side for a minute? I'm going to need your help. Amen. Put that down. Put that down. And look at your neighbor, because I need your energy with your hands. Some of y'all are handsy. You talk with your hands. But look at your neighbor. And this is not meant to be disrespectful. Some people have a problem being pointed at when people talk to them. But you're not all up in their face. Don't get up in their face. But just point at them and say to them, neighbor, you are too blessed not to be doing better. Amen. God bless you. See, that's what I'm going to preach today. So for those of you, you people back there in the audio place, that's what is the title of the sermon. Too blessed not to be doing better. I feel like saying that again. You are too blessed not to be doing better. I feel it one more time. You are too blessed not to be doing better. I feel like walking now. I'm getting, y'all too blessed not to be doing better. I'm over here. Y'all too blessed not to be doing better. Now I'm going to turn it around. You too blessed to be not doing better. I know that's good. In the words of young folk, you got it too good to be doing this bad. All of you are blessed. And see, herein lies the difficulty of preaching to folk who don't believe in themselves. Because you won't believe what I'm trying to tell you if you won't believe in yourself. Based on the smattering of your own applause for your own blessedness, we've got a problem. I just told you, and the Bible just told you, that the man of God, Peter, just said to the congregation that didn't have anything like y'all got, don't drive nothing like y'all drive, don't dress like none of y'all dress, ain't never had their hair fried, dyed, or thrown to the side, they have never had a French manicure, they didn't have Las Vegas, they didn't have California, they didn't have beaches, they didn't have split level home, they didn't have job, they didn't have income tax refunds, they had none of the stuff y'all got, and they bought into the fact that they were blessed. There y'all go again. I just went down the lane. I just stopped by somebody's house. I just mentioned something that you can relate to. And he says to them, God has given you, each of you, gifts. And a variety of gifts. Can I tell you something? You don't have to try to be nobody else. You don't have to try to sing like nobody. You don't have to try to talk like nobody. You don't have to try to dress like nobody. You don't have to do nothing nobody else do. Just do you. Because God has given you enough you and enough of him to do anything you could ask, think, or imagine. And you don't have to be a copycat to nobody. Ron Isley and his brothers were right. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Now that other part, I'm going to leave that off. Every one of you are gifted. Come on, the free shout goes right there. Every one of you are gifted. There was a song that came out when I was young. It was many years ago, but the line in that song goes that you're young, gifted, and black. That's you. Look at the neighbor. That's you. Now, some of y'all ain't young no more. But even that is a reason to celebrate, because how many of you can really testify that you've lived longer than you thought you would? Amen. How many of you said to yourself, if I keep going the way I'm going, I will never make? And you fill in the number. Peter says to the congregation that there is so much evidence in your favor that you don't have to fake favor. You are favor. Y'all ain't talking to me. People in the church ought to be the last people that have to live fabricated lives. Y'all missed that. You church folk, with your high hats, high heels, and high attitudes, y'all ought to be the last people that's faking anything. Because the scriptures have declared that you have access, unlimited access to everything. Boy, y'all hard. I thought I could do 10 minutes of this and be gone. You have a God that loves you so much that he declares his love and demonstrates his love by dying so you won't have to.
He says to you, while you're living, it is not my intention that you live in mediocrity, but that you be maximized in your living. He says, I came that they would not only have life, but let me preach. If y'all ain't going to help me all the way, don't help me sometime. Either help me all the time or don't help me no time. But they would have life, and that more abundantly. You were never designed by God to live in mediocrity. Let me help you along through here very quickly. Mediocrity is a choice. And you are foolish for making it. It has nothing to do with levels of income. It has nothing to do with deficits in the government's budget. Because the Bible says that the just live by faith. See, that's what I'm saying. See, y'all helped me other time. That time y'all didn't help me. So make up your mind along through here. You have gifts. Bible says that you have been given the greatest gift. Now, again, if we were to ask you, what is your greatest gift? Some of you would begin to rattle off all manner of things. And so, Rudy, for the sake of preaching, I don't want them to get lost and misdirected. I will tell you what the greatest gift that you have is. The greatest gift that you have is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Y'all ain't saved. That's a free shout right there. The greatest gift that you have is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because minus the gift of the Holy Spirit, none of the other gifts will work. Which is why we find ourselves trying to live fabricated lives. Because if we do not understand the fullness of the first thing, you cannot go further into the next thing. Stay with me. Jesus says to the disciples, he says to them, the apostles, he says, stay here until you get it. Y'all missed it. Of all of the things, Deacon Davis, that the apostles shared with Jesus, the witnessing of miracles, the transition of their lives from mere fishers of fish to fishers of men, because of all of that which they saw, they slept with him, they ate with him, they walked with him, they struggled with him, they had supper with him, but of all of that, he says, stay here until you have got the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why are we staying, Lord? Because if you go without that, none of the other stuff will matter. Here is why I know it to be true. Because we who have been in church for more than one or two Sundays, we have read the miracles, we have tasted of the communion, we have shouted and shouted, we have danced and danced, we've clapped and clapped, and the church is impotent. We are not maximizing our gifts. We don't know how to operate in our gifts. We are still envious and jealous of folk with gifts. Y'all ain't talking to me now. Because we have overlooked the most essential thing. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because we let ignorant, unqualified folk convince us that the Holy Ghost was just for a certain kind of people. And we've let our cousins and kinfolk who go to apostolic and Pentecostal ministry come back and tell us we haven't tarried long enough and we don't speak in tongues and we don't prophesy. We got enough folk jabbering and gibbering about stuff none of us can understand, and we got enough proper liars in the world that we don't need no more fake prophets. We don't need no more babbling. What we need to do is sit down, listen, learn, and live according to the word of God. But until the Holy Spirit has come upon you, none of this will work. How do you like me now? The reality is, it is without the gift of the Holy Spirit that we struggle You don't believe me? Let's back up a little bit. The disciples have been sent out in pairs. They come back. Some say they were very successful. And on one given day, a young man brings his son. Jesus is going off with Peter, James, and John, sons of thunder, on a little break for themselves. And the rest of them, one little boy, one issue, and they're struggling. And the Lord comes back. Father meets with the Lord and said, listen, I brought my son to these here guys right here. And they couldn't do nothing. This man was from Georgia. This right here. And they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus says, without trying to embarrass them or hurt their feelings, he says, bring him here. Takes care of the matter. That night when they check into the Hilton Hyatt, they go down to Jesus' room, said, why couldn't we do nothing? And Jesus says, this kind of power, this operational gift comes but one way. You got to get the ghost. You got to get the spirit. You can have abilities. But abilities, watch this good shouting area right here, Sister Walker. Ability without an anointing is an accident waiting to happen. That's why you got churches with all of these fake folk falling on the floor as soon as somebody put their hand over the top of their head, and falling on the floor as soon as somebody come jabbering. Because without an anointing, it is an atrocity, the thing that go on in God's house. I'm losing friends now. He said, you got to have this. And it comes but a certain way. By fasting and praying. You don't get nowhere trying to turn a fast into a diet. You ain't going nowhere. You figure the pastor has announced a fast, but it's a work for me because I've been wanting to lose some weight. You've already lost right there. The power of what God could have done with you has gone out the window because you don't understand how to keep things holy as unto the Lord. He said, you got to check this because you're not going to make the team if you don't know how to play the game. Now, see, I'm not trying to minimize church. I'll be done here most directly in the words of my grandmother. But I'm trying to say to you, you're too blessed. It's too many of y'all in this church that have laid claim to receiving from God for this church to be so bad off. Oh, you didn't know that our financial numbers are horrible? You didn't know that attendance is pathetic? You didn't know that Bible study classes are sparsely attended to? You didn't know that we haven't done anything with 52-week ministry? Well, honey, hush. You obviously are not paying attention. But yet we're so blessed. We drive blessed. We comb blessed. Dress blessed. Eat blessed. And then get to the house of God and it's a mess. Why? Because we won't attend to the most important thing. You're too blessed not to be doing better. Very few of you are infants in this thing. Most of you have been around at least as long as I have. We've got very few new disciples. Matter of fact, we can't really get too many new disciples because they want to join one Sunday and disappear before we can even get them in the new disciple training. Can you imagine your mama took you, well, your parents, can you imagine taking your child down to the schoolhouse on the first day of school and they don't go the next day? You throw, as my great grandmother said, you throw a hissy fit. You imagine doing that. You imagine taking your children down to school, register them, and they clap, say, oh, bring little Johnny. And then he don't go. Wouldn't you think something strange about that? But we do it in the house of God all the time. We come down the aisle and somebody come up, put their hands around us and hug us, and we do the right hand of fellowship. We sing a little song and we get your information that is really not your information. Because it amazes me how many phone numbers we get that all we get is ooh-doo-beep. The next day. You don't know your own phone number. And an address you gave us that is not your address. You're talking about atrocities in the house of God. We lie on the registration form. Because we don't intend to be followed up upon. But we come to the church. And we promise him that I would serve until I die. We promise him that I've just been exposed by the lie. Yes. Okay, you looking at me funny. You pastor the church then. You'll find out from the inside what's really going on up in here. There is no reason for our church not to be able to do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Oh, you hadn't read that verse? That's what the word said. That means that you are too blessed not to be doing better. There is no reason for 25 people to carry the whole load of this church. There's no reason for us to have sporadic tithe reports and sporadic attendance to matters. There's no reason for us not to be able to grow the ministry. Because you've been grown. Or does that in point say to us what the point is? Because you can't grow where you haven't been grown. Paul said it this way. You can't eat where you don't work. You can't harvest where you don't plant. Look at your name and say, why is he treating us this way? Because that's how y'all looking at me. But the reality is, God is saying to you that I really want to do this. Peter helps us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to us. The manifestation, the ability to make it happen. We are not going to grow by waiting on somebody to walk in here and save us. We can't keep sitting around That's South talk. We cannot allow ourselves to be engaging in conversations that are simply ridiculed by our own ridiculing ourselves of our own ridicule, or simply saying silly things that don't make no sense. Well, when five more people join, we'll be over the hump. Well, how five more people going to join if the 50 people here ain't doing nothing to get five more people? I ask you to make March our discipleship expansion ministry month, and I look around this room and the same folk sitting by the same folk. Kidnap somebody then. No, I'm sorry. Bad pastor. What I'm saying to you is, you are too endowed with to do nothing with what you've been endowed with. You have the gifts. Don't look around the room trying to find out who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you, baby. Homie. You don't have to be a deacon to do this. You don't need no more titles. The word says this was not an accident. God knew fully well whom he was giving this to. Moses comes to God with that. Israel says, obviously, sir, you picked the wrong guy. God said, I know who I got. What you don't realize is when I got you, I got other folk like you. You do know we don't have to walk alone. Bible says, watch this now. The Bible says, how can two folk walk together lest they agree? It doesn't say they not go walk together. What he's saying is there has to be some agreement. That's why our ministries are jacked up around here. There is very little agreement. And agreement requires attendance. attendance requires accountability. Accountability. Oh, I can go all day. How you like me now? You understand what he's saying is, now watch the text. He said, God has given to each of you. It's not pagans. It's not heathens. It's not rascals. He's talking to you. And whether you look up at me long through here or look at your shoes or whatever you're doing, or, you know, you texting or whomever, send this text out. It's on up in here. Tweet this. Pastor going off. At GBC. You glad you ain't here today? Log on to Facebook and listen to this man. Listen, Paul says to the Corinthian church, I'm hearing Audrey. Paul says to the Corinthian church that in sincerity, we demonstrate our qualifications by making proper applications of that which has been allocated. I'm glad I went past the sixth grade. He says, by doing, we prove what has been done. And we prove that every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father by using the gifts. Why, GBC, are you going to ask God for anything else when you haven't done anything with the else you already got? Your cup, your cupboard, and your refrigerator running over. He said, well, you got endowments. You got an inheritance already. It's not fair for you to treat God this way. It's not right. I know, Jasmine, I'm running the risk of alienating a few more people, but I'm tired of this. Because it's a game we don't have to play. We are too blessed not to be doing better. There is very little consistency in anything in this church. Now, I know you're sitting there going, he don't have to say that. Well, you come on. Grab a mic. Whatever is true of any other people in the church, it is in the truest sense that we should be doing better. If all around us expansion is taking place and growth. You know, last few weeks ago, they closed the Virginian because it was bad offering. And some developer came in and said, I can do something with that. And poof, voila, they going to open it up and turn it into something wonderful. Some years ago, when all of what Erickson was on Candlest Mountain was deteriorating and going away, and the big expanse of what is there was thought to be a loss, Thomas Road Church looked at it and said, we can do something with that. And it doesn't look anything like it used to look. When the mall was in trouble and Sears was leaving and Man Alive was leaving and business, and they looked at it and said, hey, we got a God who says, ask and it shall be given. Let's go ask him. We're too blessed. There ain't no better than, ain't nobody in this city. There's not a person in this world that's any better off than you are. Nowhere. New York, California, Kalamazoo. What is the difference, Pastor? They have made a decision to not die in the place of their promise. They have sought counsel with God
and said, yes, sir, we will. You and I have no excuses. None. Please tune me back in. You have no excuses. If I were to bring each of you into my office privately and we were to go over your portfolio, you would have to be embarrassed when we got to the God part. Because I know how some of y'all living. I know how God has blessed you in other places in your life. Why don't you think he wants to bless you in his presence? You are blessed and highly favored. Already. You don't have to wait. All around you is opportunity to glorify God. Last week when we talked about the dynamics of reflecting the glory and radiating the glory and receiving the glory, it's still right here again. He said, listen, when you get this right, God will be given glory in everything. How? Through Christ Jesus. You don't have to do it alone. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's what he said. He didn't say I'm just with you on Sunday. Some of y'all act like God is y'all side piece. You don't want nobody to see you with him when you're with him. So you keep him somewhere and you tell him to meet you somewhere and y'all only do what you do. But he can't be no side piece. He got to be it. Now, for those of you who are not worldly kind of people, and I know some of y'all trying to fool me right along through here, you're saying, what's a side piece? A snack pack. Listen, he said, I'm finishing. He says, whatever they say about any other people, what is said here in chapter 4, verse 10, is confined to those who understand what it means to live by faith unto God. Here is a division point. Many of us, Jesse, I may not have anybody to talk to after this, so I'll talk to you. But many of us are faith fakers. We fake it. We hang around people with faith so we don't have to have a faith of our own. We listen to people who say things about faith so we don't have to say nothing about faith ourselves. Uh-huh. We enlist ourselves in spiritually enriching places but bring nothing to the table. This is why our prayer meetings were so sparsely attended. This is why our power is so limited. This is why we would rather make excuses than to stretch out on faith, even to the point of difficulty and demands, rather than give it over to God. We would rather give it back to God. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is this text says when you do something, he gets glory. When you just give it back to him, that's grief. Because he looks at you and says, why not? Why didn't you do anything with it? Remember the talent story? He looks at it and he said, why didn't you? You could have at least. Here's another problem. Says Price, we got a whole lot of folk that like at least, but yet declare they want more. Because you serve based on at least, but you want to receive based on more. Here's my point. If in fact everything you have has come from God, the question is what you give him back. Amen. Good thing my anniversary ain't next week, Sandra. So he says, well, if in fact you are truly Christian, and he's talking to the church, he says, now, because God has done all this stuff for you,
You know, we can go back to look at Calvary and resurrection and all that. He said, if in fact this is what you understand, and you're Christians, and you understand the graces and endowments that God has given to you, he says, then what's the problem with the expansion based on the allocation that God has given? Why don't we see fruit? Dr. Corbett, he asked a simple question. What went wrong? Where did the break come? Because if it came from God holy and righteous, why did it not go back to him as that incense, that sweet flavor? Why did it lose its salt? Why did it lose its joy? Because we get upset when people put upon us standard and principle. But yet you say God gifted you. And those of us who have shirked and jabbed and played the game and said, no, I ain't got nothing, you lying too. Because he says to each of you. He said, well, I ain't no deacon. Thank God. I ain't no preacher. Absolutely. I just go to church. Well, even at that, you're alive. You are still a chosen generation, a peculiar people. In him you live, move, and have your being, just like the rest of us. They made a decision. So I got to go. He says, well, not everybody's going to get this stuff. What God has done is to distribute the gifts, and not equally, because not everybody gets the same thing. Now, see, that is a bit of a drag for some of us, because we tend to energize ourselves based on envy, jealousy, and strife. Let me make my point, Kirk. The point is, a lot of times we say stuff about other people like this. Well, if I was in charge, it would be this way. You fixers amaze me. Because you always know so much. I really want to say what I want to say, but Miss Davis is here today. But you know so much. You can always tell us what's wrong, but you don't do nothing. You don't come to nothing. You don't give to nothing. You don't pray about nothing. You don't participate in nothing. But if you was in charge, well, I tell you what. We are all willing to get out your way. So you can fix our raggedy ministry. That we don't know nothing about what we're doing. But you can fix our church school if you was in charge. You can fix Bible study if you was in charge. You can get people to give if you was in charge. Well, here's your chance. It's open season on ministry opportunity. We said we give everybody 90 days. We just about out of 90 days. We're going to be firing some folks. Come April 1st, there will be vacancies. And you gifted. You know the answer. We are waiting for you. We will sing all hail you when you come in and fix it for us. We can't wait to see what you're going to do different. Seeing how you have thrown rocks and hid your hand, and you know so much because you're so holy and righteous and you spent so much time with God, we long for your appearing. But you're so blessed. And now you'll save us. Our children will be better off because you are the superintendent. Our finance committee, Deacon McKenzie, has been waiting for you. He is long since tired of counting a few nickels. But you have a formula that will inspire folk to tithe holy and righteous unto God. Because you know how to make people give. Well, hot dog. Come on down. Paul says to the church at Corinth, all the gifts are from the same God. Which means we ought to all be interested in the same thing. Not all of us have the same gift, but all of the gifts everything we do ought to send up this glory cloud. So you are the best Sunday school superintendent in the world. Glory cloud. You are a better financial person. Glory cloud. You are not going to get my job. Glory cloud. But all that other stuff is open. Except this year right here. But you got a gift. Paul says to the church, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. I'm finishing. Paul says there are different kinds. You don't need to create no isolated ministry. And stop getting your little click club together behind the backs of the other folk. Because this is all the same. No, you're not going to take over the choir because you can sing better than everybody else. Just teach everybody else how to sing better. No, we're not going to give it to you. If I was running, well, you running your mouth. We like that. But no, you can't. One, we don't trust you like that. Because you're sowing seeds of discord before you even get the job. So he said, not only are there different kinds, here we just about that. He said, and there are different kinds of way to work it, but God works all of it. So what you say to us is, okay, I got an idea. Let's try something different. But let's make sure we're all doing it that God be glorified. Because see, we chop off everybody's head, then we ain't gonna have no heads. You can't put them back. The dynamic is, now I gave you decision, diversity. The dynamic is this. That what God is saying to us is threefold, and I can leave you alone. It's 12:30. First of all, you all need to understand that the most important thing in the church is not presence. It's not you being here. That's not the most important thing. It's good, but it's not the most important. The most important thing in the church is not performance. So see, we can stop criticizing people based on performance because that's not really the issue. The most important thing is purpose. See, I didn't get a lot of amens. Let me get right to it. The most important thing is purpose. Why? It is the most crucial gift that we have because what the Holy Spirit comes to do is make us work. He comes for purpose. He comes so we don't sit around twiddling our thumbs anymore. He comes and said, listen, now that I'm here, we can get busy. And so when we understand purpose, and here's the problem, because purpose is the most misunderstood part of the gifts. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the real purpose of the church is this simple. It's not that we have chandeliers. They're nice. Not really the PowerPoint thing. That's nice. Here's the real purpose of the church. This is where we can change everything. And Deacon Walker, we can go home in a few minutes. Here it is. The real purpose of the church. This is a mystery. It's been hidden a long time. I'm bringing it out. Make sure the video don't skip. Here's the real purpose. The real purpose of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and all the stuff that God gives us is to bind up the enemy and build up the kingdom. About a shout. No, very few people. Y'all thinking all the wrong thing. It was never about a whole lot of stuff that we engage and argue about. What we all should have been engaging in is binding up the enemy and building up the kingdom. That's it. It was not about who had the biggest church. It wasn't about who had the most members or disciples. It was not about who the best preacher. It was never about the best choir. It was never about none of that stuff. And the devil is sitting back laughing at us. Because rather than bind up the enemy, we bind up each other. Beat down each other. Ridicule each other. Make miserable each other. Bind up the enemy. And build up the kingdom. What? Really? That's it, right? That's it. Look at the Bible. Everything that the Holy Spirit gives us, every gift that we have, is to bind up the enemy. Bind up the enemy of poverty. Bind up the enemy of poor health. Bind up the enemy of your mind. Bind up the enemy of relationship. Because that's the most important thing. You've got to get rid of the enemy. The Bible said if the strong man had known the hour that the thief or the enemy would come, he would have done things differently. My fight is not against you. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember that, children. All this infighting and I ain't friends no more and we used to hang and we don't hang and you used to come to my house, I used to come to your house. Let's just stop that. Bind up the enemy and build up the kingdom. Go you therefore and make more disciples. That's building up the kingdom. We don't build a kingdom by building a bigger church. You build a bigger church when you have to build a bigger church. We don't build up the kingdom by trying to impress ourselves by being impressive to ourselves. Go ye therefore and make more disciples. So, Pastor, I think I got it now. I am blessed. Because everything I need, God has already given it to me. I just didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize that what I had was so easy to operate. That if I keep focused on the most important thing, I'll get that done. And so when the Lord comes back, he'll look at me and say, you bound up the enemy and you built up the kingdom. Well done. See, you thought well done, that good and faithful servant had to do with the fact that you baked cakes and strewn streamers all over the church for anniversary and you did all that other stuff. No. No, we're doing all that stuff and the enemy just running wild. That's a problem. Bind up the enemy. Build up the kingdom. All the gifts you have were to bind up the enemy and build up the kingdom. You sit there now and say, well, Lord, have mercy. I have been misguided for all these years. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it ever will be. Bind up the enemy. Jesus comes out of the wilderness. What's the first thing he do? Encounter the enemy. And what does he do when he leaves? Start building up the kingdom. Well, honey, hush. Bind up the... See, you sit here now thinking, man, it can't be that easy. No, it's not that hard. It ain't easy. But it's not that hard. Why? Because if, in fact, we all use our gifts and abilities together, nobody has to do it all alone. I put a note here. I said, Leroy, when you get to this part, if they have helped you and understood, take it on home. And the other note says, but if they've looked at you like you're crazy and didn't do a whole lot of amen and then shouting, say, thus end the preaching of the gospel. Okay, here's my point. No. You only do that when you got a guest preacher who's trying to get to church. Don't clap for me after I finish preaching. Unless you're going, you know. Here's my point. We promised ourselves too many things that we have not kept. This church, which means this people, are too gifted. Right where you are, right now, you don't have to sit here and wait for another gift. You don't sit here and wait for another person. You all right now on your own face are too blessed to not be doing better. Not yet, coach. Hold on, coach. You're a good man. But I'm telling you something now because we are running out of time. We're running out of time. No, don't help me. No, nobody help me right now. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm not doing it to embarrass you. I'm just telling you. I need y'all to hear me and hear me well. We have spent 17 years of our lives together. And we've accomplished very little as it relates to building up the kingdom. We've just been in a maintenance mode. We keep the lights on. We kind of keep the building going. You know, we kind of, but we're not binding up the enemy. We live in a city where young people are killing each other. We have people that are hungry. Poverty. We have people that are homeless. Remember some years ago I said, man, we should buy houses and put, that's building up the kingdom, binding up the enemy. We have relationships. We have family members that don't speak to each other. We have sons and daughters that don't honor their father and mother and serve in our ministry, and we don't do nothing about that. That's an enemy. We can't build up the kingdom like that. We spend a lot of our years dreaming and vision casting and putting stuff on the board that we don't even attend to. And there's no excuse for it. We're blessed. I thank God for all of you. I thank God for your sons and your daughters. I thank God for your houses and your cars and your money and your vacations. That's why when you all come to me and tell me you're going places, I say, oh, man, that's cool. Go. Enjoy yourself. But be back Sunday. You know, I try to, you know, I mean, my wife and I, you know, we talk about going places, and she usually gets frustrated with me to some degree because I said, well, we can't go because I got Bible study. We can't go because I got new. I mean, see, I got to attend to this stuff because who can you trust with it if you can't trust nobody with it? Now, that's not a slight against the preachers either. Now, y'all understand, please do. But my point is this. We have a God who has made us promises that we don't have to beg him to cash in on. Be thou faithful over just a few things. I said to you some years ago, pick one thing to do that God will get some glory out of. And don't let that one thing go till you get it done. Pick one thing. Just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Pick one. Don't sign up for nothing else. Don't stretch yourself thin. Just say, Lord, this one thing I do. And when that's done, you got some success. Bible says each victory will help you some other way. Then you don't wear the songs of that. Then you say, okay, I prove it now. And that thing I did helped bind up the enemy. It didn't get me no glory. It got God glory. Because now our children are safe. Now marriages are being enriched. Now income levels are going up. Now and God is pleased. Because we are the heads and not the tails. And then as we do those things, we build up the kingdom. Wouldn't you like to look down your pew and see your whole family? Wouldn't you like to come to church and look around and see your whole family? Wouldn't you like to come to Bible study and be able to walk out of Bible study feeling empowered? Boy, I learned one thing tonight. It's going to bless me the rest of this week. Yes. Then you come and put that with the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And before you know it, when you say the Lord is my rock and my salvation, it do something to you. You're too blessed not to be doing better. And so I'm going to say to you this. I'm sorry. I'm going to say this to you. Don't leave here today lying to yourself. Not one more minute. This has nothing to do with this church being geographically in the wrong place. It has nothing to do with the fact that we're not as big as anybody else, or we're not, you know, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It all comes down to you. And God hadn't cheated any of you.
The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. Dr. Corbin and I, Dr. Dixon, Reverend Muriel and I, we don't have no advantage over none of y'all. We have greater responsibilities, but ain't nobody been cheated. The Antrims haven't been cheated. The Davises haven't been cheated. The Andersons haven't been cheated. The Walkers haven't been cheated. The Brodies haven't been cheated. Look at your neighbor and help me so I don't have to call everybody's name. Just tell them, you haven't been cheated. But here's what's going to get everybody quiet. The evidence is simply this. Though we have not been cheated, we have cheated God. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask you today, just a few minutes, I've got to go. Can I get, thank you, Holy Ghost. He said no number. Can I just get those who will make a decision today that you agree that you are too blessed not to do better and come and stand with me in this praying place and declare today, not to me, but to God, I'm going to do better. I'll wait on you. And then we're going home. Deacon Walker, I won't forget, the doors of the church are open. If you need, and I know you need, I won't even say if, but I will say that because you need a Savior, there is a Savior. If you will come today with the divine purpose of giving your life to Christ, you kind of maneuver your way. If you come for Christian salvation today, if you want to give your life to Christ, kind of ask a couple of people to let you get by and get up here where the preacher is. Dr. Dixon is up here in the front. Raise your hand. Just tell us, say, I've come for Christian salvation. And I'll let her talk to you about that while I'm finishing. All I'm asking today, that's probably what I should have asked 17 years ago. I was telling the Christian Academy this morning that I don't sleep very well and it doesn't bother me anymore. Maybe Dr. Corbett can give me something for it. But I don't sleep very well and it doesn't really bother me because I keep trying to tell myself, Wanda, that God is keeping me awake to notice something or to hear something. So about 3:30 this morning, I was awake. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask me. And I was kind of blank. I'm like, you know, I don't know how the Holy Spirit talks to y'all, but he talks to me just regularly. He says, ask me. You want to ask me? Ask me. And I did like most folk do. I tried to act like I wasn't going to ask him nothing. And so I did. After about 20 minutes went by, you know, I gave him some other conversations about other stuff. And then he kept saying, but ask me. And so finally I did. I said, what am I doing wrong? And he said, I'm glad you asked. He said, you have tried to create what has already been created. So you've created confusion by creating two things when there's already one thing. And I said, huh? He said, well, you keep trying to make ministry out of ministry. And you're trying to bring people to a place and you're trying to, but I've already done that. He said, what you really need to do is make them accountable, not to what you want done, but to what I've already done. And then I said, oh, it made all the sense in the world. I said, so that's it. He said, you keep trying to do things, but I've already done the thing. It's just that they're not doing anything with the thing I've already done. And now you're trying to do another thing, which means you're compiling the thing And you got to leave that alone so I can get their attention again. And I said, oh, you're gifted people. You don't need to go nowhere. So stand in no line and let nobody put nothing on your head and push you down and try to convince you. You're gifted people already. You don't need to go to another ceremony, another service. You need worship, yeah. But you keep going trying to get something that you already have. You don't need nobody babbling in your ear. You don't need nobody prophesying to you. You're already it. You are already. See, again, some of y'all looking at me like, oh, you don't need to go nowhere. You got it. Just keep reading verse number 10. You have already been gifted. And you're sitting around waiting on somebody to walk through that door. They already walked through the door. It was you. You were the next answer. You were the next revelation. You were the next standard bearer. And you keep crooking your neck every time somebody opens the door. You keep looking at people walking up and down the aisles. You are it. What God says, Eva, is I'll send you help. I won't let you do it alone. And so, my question was, my extension to you today was, if there were a people who would come and simply say, God, today I want to declare that I'm going to do better. This has nothing to do with any other thing except the glory of God. Now that may be strange territory for some of us to put our feet into, but isn't that what you wanted all along? To be in the glory places with God? Because all of the other things solve themselves when you get there. The disciples never worried about income tax. They never worried about food. They never worried about shelter. He said, as long as you're with me. I'm sorry, as long as you're with me. Every time I say something grammatically incorrect, Sister Scott eyes do. Her eyebrows probably hurt when she gets home. Oh, that pastor. So God says, now, here's the standard of discipleship life. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Why? Because of me. It's relationship. But it's the purity and purpose of relationship that makes the performance excellent. They looked at him and said, Lord, because of you, we can do anything. And they were honored to do so. They said, Lord, we left everything to follow you. And whatever we do in following you is worth it. Ask James when they hung him. Ask Stephen when they stoned him. Ask Paul when they beat him. Paul said, I don't mind because of him. I don't mind. So you're here. I want to ask you to do something that may sound strange in the church, but let go of people's hands. Let them go. I want you to stand on your own today. I want you to not feel like you're depending on anybody. I know that's strange in the church, but this is where we really are. This time, and maybe next time we won't ask you to do it, but this time I need you to stand alone. Never alone because God's with you, but I need you to be one with God without anybody else. Just for a moment. Close your eyes. Let your heart settle down. I want you to feel the presence of God. Feel him as he comes along beside you. Feel his body heat mingling with your body heat. Feel his breath He speaks into your ear. Hear what he's saying to you, because he's talking to you. This is not about any person in this room. It's not about your spouse. This time, hear what he's saying to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know you don't take long to do anything, I am convinced that you have said to each of these children what you needed them to hear. I really believe, God, today, just as our conversation went, it was just a couple of words, just a couple of observations that you wanted to bring to their attention, that is going to shift their lives in a dramatic way. I really believe, God, today that you've spoken to them. And even, Lord, for those who are concerned that they did not hear something audible, I think you moved in their spirits, shuddered them and shook them, strengthened and stabilized them. I am convinced that there is no such thing as I cannot hear God. Because you said that you talk to us. You said in the day that we hear your voice, I pray, God, that this is that day for these who came out of determination. Here is a pastor's prayer, God. Take away the fear. Take away doubt. Take away excuses. Take away lethargic behavior. Take away this disconnect that made many think they did not matter. They were not valuable. They were not needed. Take it away. Take away the argument. Take away the alienation that caused many of us to feel that we were not of the family, and so we were not welcome. Take it away. Cleanse this house today, that there be no more excuses. Lift up our heads, strengthen our backs, shod our feet, sharpen our swords, make us fit to fight, that we'll bind up the enemy. And the enemy comes in so many forms. He's sneaky like that and cunning. And so, God, help us to observe and react quickly, so we'll bind up the enemy. And then, Lord, send us out from this room with a declaration that the whosoevers that we encounter will come and surrender their lives, and we'll build up the kingdom. You said you would, that no man would perish. So God, teach us not to pick and choose based on how they smell and how they look and what we think they bring. Because God, the truth be told today, we brought nothing either. It's only when we discovered our gift that we discovered our value. So teach us, as we're building up the kingdom, to no longer look upon man as man looks at man, In fact, your word tells us to see no man in the former life, but now see them in Christ Jesus, binding the enemy, building the kingdom. Thank you, Father. And now, God, we're going to stand on our declarations. May we never forget what we have promised to you. Because before we can ever do better, we've got to be better. Because as a man thinks, so he is. And so, God, we must indeed train and develop so that we can go forward and not stand still and die. God, again, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us, we pray. And God, if this is going to be my last day, I'll make it my best day. So the day is not over for me. I will go out from this place to bind up the enemy and build up the kingdom. I will no longer serve you as a part-time disciple, but I will keep my focus. I'll stand in my faith. I'll fight the good fight, and I'll follow you until you say stop. Heal those who are sick. Restore those who are broken. Build up those that are torn down. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory. Amen. God bless you. Hug at least four or five folks. Say something nice to them. And we pray, God, to see you again real soon.